All righty. How can I spin this into Nick Nurse? I don't know. Werewolf of London. I don't know. He's taking a bite out of our hearts.
There we go. Look at you.
You know, he's hurting my heart.
He was turning into a monster
on the sidelines last night. Yes.
He's turning into a monster in these press conferences. And you know what? I don't blame him. Daryl Morey, you are hanging him out there.
He is.
And you have bitten him and lycanthropically changed him. And now you're just letting him sit there, turn into a werewolf.
It's a disgrace. All right, we're going to get to the Nick Nurse audio from yesterday.
Lycanthropically.
Well, that
is the adjective.
It's a good word right there.
Multisyllabic.
That is a word, to say the least. By the way, Jason Kelsey with us in 10 minutes. Rhea, as you know, coming up at 8 o'clock today, we give people the chance to win a pair of tickets tomorrow by listening today at 8 o'clock.
Yep, courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
So the key is listen at 8, know the name we say of a current or former Eagles player, and tomorrow at 8 o'clock, if you know the name said this week, you can win the tickets to the Eagles-Jags game, which I got to think is now a pretty coveted ticket. When you consider 5-2, still good weather,
man.
Oh,
right?
So 62,
amazing weather.
Pretty cool.
Doug's coming in.
You feel Dougie.
Yeah. Their only Sunday home game for like a month or whatever. You know
what?
This could be the last game Doug coaches as a head guy for a while.
Well, it could be. It also strikes me almost like a homecoming game in college football, where you schedule a team that you know you're going to beat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the Eagles are going to win, right? Like, Sunday night, they're 6-2. I just want to make sure.
You do know that most of their losses are very...
a little bit.
Like, close.
I'm not much worried.
I mean, the Jags just traded their left tackle. They lost both their starting receivers.
The quarterback stinks.
The quarterbacks, they're just bad. They're bad, period. Plus, they've lost guys.
Yeah, quarterback stinks. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here and reaction on Nick Nurse.
He's been playing better lately, but he has been a major disappointment.
If you've watched them, God bless
you. A lot of people think, like, Doug is part of the reason why this quarterback hasn't been...
It's
great.
Possible, but I tend to think the QB just stinks. That's at least what my heart wants to hope for. Let's go to the phones. Because it's never Doug's fault. Even in 2021, Doug's fault.
Doug! Ben Peterson! Yeah, baby!
Ben, nothing but love for that guy. By the way, Ben, you know what I'll say?
Nothing but love for
that guy. Here's what I'll say about Sirianni as it relates to Doug.
Who wins in a fight?
As it relates to Charlie.
Who wins in a fight? Doug or Nick?
Doug. Doug's a physically bigger guy.
Yeah. He is. Doug Nick's is younger, a lot though. Older. Yeah, Nick's significantly
matter.
Younger.
Doug's
it does matter.
Nick,
age matters. Of course it does.
It matters in a big way.
In a huge way.
Doug is much older than I am.
So what is he, about 57?
Yeah, and Nick's 43.
Yeah, but Doug Peterson could headbutt him. He's got the biggest head.
I think Nick wins. I feel super confident Nick wins. Plus, Doug was a quarterback, had the red jersey on. Nick's out there playing wide receiver, going over the middle and stuff.
That's very true, too.
I don't like
it. That's very true.
He was playing in an era where he used to have to go over the middle.
I'm smelling a Twitter poll question tomorrow.
Nick Sirianni.
Yes.
Throw it out there. I'm writing it down. Twitter poll tomorrow.
I believe in him.
Fight. Sirianni.
Joe, you actually, wow.
Yeah, I actually feel like the more we talk about it, the more confident I feel that Sirianni. I'm sure of it. I would bet my house on it.
I think it's fast. I think he makes quick work of Doug.
Well, I don't. But
you could ask Kelsey. I mean,
we could ask.
Yeah, right. But
we'll
he wouldn't have to do ask that, actually. Yeah, it's a great question.
I'll put that on the list.
Important.
Right. One other thing I'll say about Nick. I am and will always be struck by the last two coaches to win a title here, Charlie Manuel and Doug Peterson. You couldn't be more criticized in the beginning, in the early years. I
100%.
Mean, you couldn't be. Yeah. You
remember
could,
Doug
you
started with
be.
The Andy, like basically carrying water for Andy about that Chiefs game, that Patriots game. Yeah.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Kelsey in about 10 minutes. Kenny in East Oak Lane. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Kenny.
Man, so I want to say a couple things before we get into sports. Joe, every journey starts with one step. Right? Start going to the gym or walking or doing something and be active, right?
Well, today I'm going to golf, and my goal is to break, not to get in great shape today, just to break 100.
Why, are you gonna ride a cart?
Where are you playing? Of course I'm going to ride a cart. I'm playing at Marion, Ben.
Oh, you got no chance.
Is it really?
You got no chance.
Whoa, you buried the lead there.
You're going to Marion?
Hold up. You just say I'm golfing today.
Why does everyone laugh?
You should say, I'm going to Marion.
Because I don't merit Marion.
Marion is the golf course.
It's one of the top courses in the world.
In the world. Yeah. Like the U.S. Open.
2013 U.S. Open.
It's where Obama, Saquon, and Jalen couldn't golf because he's not allowed per contract. Who was the other person?
Well, Jeffrey Lurie.
Lurie. It was like 2 days ago. Lurie, Obama, Saquon,
and Jalen.
But Jalen had to ride the cart. He wasn't allowed in his contract to play.
Joe, I don't want you to pull him up there. Patting yourself on the back and bragging to us.
I'm not bragging. Ben asked me a question. I answered. I wasn't going to say
it. Is this the first time
I feel like you're
going
to sully the grounds of Marion. I can't believe they're allowing you there.
You can't take a cart at Marion. You have to walk.
Well, then I'm walking. You do have to walk?
You have to walk.
Well, then apparently I'm walking.
Look at you. There we go. So it starts today.
Yes.
And John.
Kenny.
In the great words of Jimmy V, you should be moved to tears every day. So don't ever be ashamed of. Because I did the same thing with Kelsey, so we're on the same page, brother.
This is really...
You're right. So, that would be a beautiful thing to be moved to tears every day.
There you go. Yeah, right, Ken, what do you got on our sports scene?
So, Sirianni, right? I'm an executive chef, so I am a coordinator of chaos. So I understand that, you know, sometimes your emotions get the best of you. You're very passionate about what you do. I think Sirianni is a great coach. I think that he is a player's coach. And in order to lead the people, you have to love the people, right? And you have to know your people, get to know everybody individually, everything like that. I don't think that there's a better players coach in the league than Sirianni.
Yeah, but that's never, to me, been the issue, Kenny. I hear you, and I will agree with you. I've always been impressed with that.
He's also a control freak. I'm telling you right now, he needs to let his coaches coach, and he needs to manage the game. That's it. Like, Fangio has that defense running on all cylinders,
yes.
And I think
Kenny, if he's only putting his head in there for one or two plays a game, that's not so bad. If he's putting his head in there for 23 plays a game, then that's a big issue. So let's just start with that.
He needs to let his people do. Yeah, he needs to let his people do what they do best.
Yeah,
and I think we're going to be just fine. Right. I like Sirianni.
Kenny, give me a great answer for the $100 gift card. What's a strange tradition?
When they break plates at weddings and big functions and say "Hopa."
Yeah, breaking plates is a good answer. It's certainly a better answer.
Opa.
And then what's the cuz I've heard opa yep. And then there's other ones too when you break stuff. Opa Greek?
In a Jewish wedding you say mazel tov when you break the wine glass. Yeah.
Mazel.
There's a lot of wedding answers that they could apply here. The throwing the rice, and there's a lot of strange traditions. All right. Let me tell you what's an annoying tradition. The Sixers screwing stuff up.
Yeah.
So, it is a tradition.
It is. It's a tradition unlike any other. All right, so I want to get to this audio of Nick Nurse. And by the way, Jason Kelsey is going to join us soon. So Nick Nurse met with the reporters yesterday twice. Once was before the game, and once was after the game. And of course, John, we were particularly interested in the pregame stuff because of the fact that, you know, obviously that's when the questions would be asked, you know, about what's going on with Joel. And there were questions that needed to be asked. And I got to tell you, Howard asked a question yesterday. He takes, you know, heat for, you know, just being the king, right? Riding with the king. But Howard, to his credit, man, for years has asked great probing questions in press conferences. I thought this was one of the best questions I've ever heard Howard ask. And Nick Nurse never answered it yesterday. Let's listen to this exchange.
Nick, do you think it's fair to your paying customers and your fans to not know, have any idea when your star player is going to play?
That's a big question to lead off with. Listen, our guys are working out. They are making progress. They're going to have workouts tomorrow, Friday. We hope to have a better indication of where they are by then. Update you then.
But that didn't answer the question. Do you think it's fair? I mean, I have complaints from people, you know, I'm buying tickets and I don't know whether they're going to play. And
they're listed. They're listed as out. You know, within the league guidelines, we have to list them. That's why the league has those guidelines, and we list them that way.
And you do it the day before, but a lot of people buy tickets earlier than that.
Well, we don't have all the information all the time, right? The reason you do it the day before is you want to make sure, right? So you know.
What a fascinating exchange. What an amazing and let me
tell you
this,
Howard.
Right,
yeah, Howard was great.
So much, yeah, Howard. And
totally.
And, you know, I don't know whether to feel sorry for Nick.
I
Nurse.
Am. Feeling,
I'm starting
yeah.
to feel sorry. That answer. I was just yeah. like, man, this guy
because
doesn't know
guys,
what to say.
We
he doesn't know what to say.
We yeah. know Nick Nurse knows the answer is yes. Nick Nurse knows it's unfair to fans, But he feels, as he answers to Josh Harris and Daryl Morey, yeah, and has the Joel thing,
you can
he doesn't want to say
he
yes.
He answers to in his response.
He chooses not to say yes, but he knows the answer is yes.
Yeah.
That's a tough spot.
Yeah.
Now, look, I still think he should find a way, because I would respect him more if he kept it real. He's not keeping it real. So I'm going to still ding Nick Nurse, but the longer this saga goes on, the more I do find him becoming a sympathetic figure, yeah, taking the bullets for Daryl Morey, Josh Harris, and Joel Embiid. Let's listen to another exchange that I thought was... Now, this one you might lose a lot of respect for Nick, because you might think he's lying, or you might think they are such a poorly run organization that he's telling the truth, and if so, this is astounding. Listen to this before the game.
The league's release yesterday has effectively said the problem was not that Joel didn't play based on the medical information. The problem was whatever was communicated by, what, I don't know if it was just you, Daryl, whoever it might have been. So what do we need to know? Like, what is the gap there? And what is the, to your knowledge, what is the reason that you guys were fine?
I didn't even know we were fined. We were fined. That was made public. Yeah, I did. Sorry, I didn't know.
Your comments as an organization,
right,
don't match, I guess, wherever Joel is. So I'm just trying to get from that place post Olympics. Happy he went. Uh-huh. He's on schedule. He doesn't play, and the league says it's fine that he doesn't play. But we've never heard anything from August till now other than he's on schedule, everything's fine.
Yeah, I'm going to have to punt that one on you. You're going to have to ask Daryl or Dave or Elton or somebody that one. I'm not even, like I said, I didn't even know we got fined yesterday.
Nick, why?
I got a game, several games to coach and lots of things going on.
All right.
I mean, I don't blame him.
Did he really?
Well, do
not
you
know?
Believe him?
No, but I don't blame him. I mean, I do. That's
is
the first time he's been like, hey, ask Daryl, man.
Well,
like,
I blame him if he's lying, because now it makes me not trust him on a lot of fronts.
It's not possible he didn't.
No, look, I don't like that he lied about the not knowing they were fine.
Why would you say that? Why would you?
I think he's tired of it. Like, I think he's like, he literally says at the end, ask Daryl. Like, ask Elton, ask someone
right, John,
else. This
John,
is not my job.
Let's tackle it one
he's
issue
like,
at a time.
I'm supposed to coach games.
No, I got it. John, one issue at a time. Do you think there is a chance he's telling the truth?
That he did not know
they
were fined.
$100,000 because of his statements.
I can't imagine that he didn't know that. That seems like, front and center for everyone.
I find it really hard to believe. The one thing that gives me some belief that it's possible he's telling the truth is they're such a bad organization.
Well, that's the
maybe
only
maybe nobody
thing.
Told him.
And also, maybe he's just so frazzled with all
that
of
possible?
This. He could feel as though he's just at wit's end with everything, and he's getting things thrown at him all the time every day, and he just loses track.
Ben, what do
you
make of it?
This is what happens when you have an ownership group that is not there.
It's right.
Not there.
Absentee.
This stuff doesn't
ownership.
Happen with the Eagles. It definitely doesn't happen with the Phillies.
Right.
Because they're two ownership groups that are on top of everything. Everything. And this is a guy, Josh Harris, that is just so far removed. And I mean, it literally is just an investment.
And
that's
Rhea, do you
all
think
the Sixers are.
Rhea, you think it's impossible that he didn't know?
Oh, he 100% knew. I don't buy it at all. It's so ridiculous what's going on there. I am now starting to skew towards he might be seriously injured.
I agree completely.
And they just don't want to say it.
I would put it at more likely than not that surgery's coming.
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, that's just my instincts.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not reporting
instinct,
that, but my antenna says we're going to hear in the next couple weeks there's a real surgery.
There's no excuse for Daryl Morey for not him speaking. There's none. The only excuse is they're trying to figure out how to manage a guy they allowed to play in the Olympics, and then they hand it, $150 million extension to? And he's probably seriously hurt.
And I'll say this, if you remember, and some people might have lost track of this, but when he got hurt last year, and I think it was around February, maybe January. There was talk of a more substantial surgery they could have done, John, that would have put him out for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or a lesser process.
Yeah. We've
that
heard
they
all sorts of little sprinklings.
Yeah, and they went with
like
the
this.
Lesser.
And what my understanding for all of that stuff was is, in today's world, once upon a time for meniscal stuff, it was you scoped it out and you just took part of the cushion out, and it was just that player had that less cushion forever. Now they can do things with stem cells and PRP and a lot of new age stuff that allows things to grow back that couldn't necessarily grow back before. So I always assumed that the less invasive procedure, that stem cell stuff, was what Joel was doing. Maybe I was just completely off base with that. Maybe that is everyone does now.
Maybe if they didn't rush him for the playoffs last year, maybe this wouldn't be an issue right now, and he'd be better for the next 5 years of his career. They screwed it up.
There are different levels of invasiveness and aggressiveness for all of these procedures, and we were told sort of along the way that they were trying to be careful with Joel, which begs the question, why is Joel so messed up he can't even start to play at the beginning of the season?
All right. So all of that Sixers thing on the table. We're going to play more audio of Nick Nurse coming up shortly because he said other stuff yesterday. And I am starting to feel sympathetic for him, but not overly sympathetic because I still think he could handle some of these situations better with his answers, which are ridiculous. Let's also tell you the Twitter poll questions of the day. We've got two of them today. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's tailgate season at Armin Chevy. Check out Armin's incredible lineup of SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. First poll question, does the Dodgers winning the World Series after losing in the divisional round the last 2 years, does that give you extra hope or belief that the Phils can win it all next year? Yes or no? Second poll question, Sirianni. Today, we are reassessing Sirianni. Obviously, a three-game winning streak. A lot of people wanted him gone 2 or 3 weeks ago. He's still here. Might be here next year. Probably headed to the playoffs this year for the, ready for this? Fourth straight year. He was the only Eagles head coach ever to make the playoffs his first 3 years. He's probably going to make the playoffs his first 4 years. I think he's a pretty good coach. Now, I get a little confused on it, candidly, and I've expressed that through many twists and turns over the last couple of years, but I net out with Sirianni being a pretty good coach. But we ask you this Twitter poll question, do you think Nick Sirianni is a good coach? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and also weigh in at 215-592-9494. And when you do over the next hour, the opportunity to talk to Mr. Jason Kelsey joins us right now, brought to us by Garage Beer. That's, you know, his beer. The garage is always open.
Yeah, baby.
Light beer like it used to be. Yeah, baby. Find Garage Beer at your local retailer or at drinkgaragebeer.com. That website, drinkgaragebeer.com. Official beer of the Kelsey brothers and dads everywhere. Good morning, Jason. Good
morning. How are
Jason,
we doing?
That's great. Really great. That's a big deal, that Garage Beer. Like, I saw it the other day. Like, it's nice. Here.
Yeah.
So, no, like, your beer from Ohio has made its way.
It has.
All the way out this direction. That's an achievement.
It is growing very fast.
That's a big deal.
The problem has not been demand. It has been supply. We're starting to figure that portion
that's
out.
That's a huge, wow. That's a big
it's a great
deal.
Problem to have, but still a problem.
Well, congrats, man.
We have some deep, deep concerning issues that were brought up that we needed to address with you.
Oh, gosh.
What are they?
Well, Nick versus Doug
in a fight.
Cage match. who wins in that? No, seriously.
Oh, man.
I think Doug might just be, like, he's game, he's up for it, but he's old. Nick has 43.
How old is Doug?
He's older than I am. I'm 50. He's got to be like 55.
He's in his 50s. I don't think. Yeah, but like, is there that big of a difference between like 55 and?
He's 56.
And what's Nick?
I don't 43. Even, Nick's 43.
I'm taking Doug.
Difference between 50, like if Nick
43
was
43 and 56.
Was like 30s, like maybe that'd be a huge deal. But I feel like 40s and 50s, like you're kind of already.
Doug is a big man. Also,
you're already over the hill. I saw that.
Yeah, I just think. Listen, I'm 43. I'm 37. I woke up and my back barely got out of bed this morning. So.
You also played like 37 years in the NFL.
Very
you know?
Good point.
So
Doug was mostly a backup.
So Doug's big. Doug is a big man. Like, even for an offensive lineman, I go back, I saw him this past year in Tahoe. He's a large human being.
We don't appreciate that.
His hands, like, everything. Like, he has the frame, the reach.
Doug wins the fight.
He would have the advantage in size.
He would grizzly bear him. He would.
If it goes to the ground, Nick's in trouble.
But don't you feel like Nick would fight to the death? Why like, that's so Nick's competitive?
Nick has like the fighter's mentality, and Doug can get Doug can get revved up too. I mean, he was a football player as well.
But he also wore a red jersey in practice.
He did. He did. But yeah, he did. But and Nick, I mean,
like Nick, a kick.
Can I just say
Nick
something?
Can get, like he can, exactly like a kick. Yeah. Nick can get fired up now, and like he like to James's credit, he would fight to the death. I don't know. That's a good question. I'd have to see them sparring. Or like some type of like, what do they look like throwing a punch?
Can we set this
Nick
up?
Nick has to. Nick half-time. Is so. You would expect
can you imagine?
That he would keep coming back. Nick would never quit.
John,
Nick,
here's why.
Even though Doug's
why
got
Doug
the reach and size, Nick will get. I mean, Nick's going to keep coming.
Doug,
he's going to walk straight into
guys,
it. He doesn't care.
Doug Peterson,
he'll eat those jabs.
I'm like a spider
and just
monkey.
Keep after it.
Here's
how it's real simple. Doug Peterson survived being the quarterback of the 1999 Eagles with limited offensive line, and he lived. Doug Peterson wins the fight.
Well,
Nick Sirianni would not have survived.
This is not that
now, granted,
easy.
Doug only played half the year because then Donovan got in there. I'm going with the guy that played. I mean, Doug played over 10 years in the NFL.
Nick also grew up with like I think it's two brothers.
That makes a difference.
And he's like the youngest, so yes. Like he's
ooh. The younger brother.
He's been
thing.
In some yeah. physical bouts yeah. with some bigger guys.
He's
like
he's
in familiar
his
territory.
by the way, James, tell us what is different with today's show. I know you got something related
pretty
to
neat.
Jason.
You can actually not just listen to Jason Kelce today. You can watch him. We are live streaming the Jason Kelce Hour. So you can go to the WIP YouTube page at Sports Radio 94 WIP on YouTube and check it out. You can watch and listen.
You can watch and listen. That's the YouTube channel?
WIP YouTube channel, at Sports Radio 94 WIP on YouTube.
Very nice.
Cool.
Very nice. All right, so great to have you with us, everyone, today. 215-592-9494. Also, reminder, of course, Rhea, coming up in 17 minutes at 8 o'clock, another name for people to have a chance to win Eagles tickets.
And that, of course, is courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
So listen, coming up at 8 o'clock, and know the name we give you at 8, because tomorrow at 8 o'clock, when we ask you to tell us what the name was, you can win the tickets for the Eagles and Jags, where the Eagles should get to 6-2. Boy, Jason, they do look a lot better.
It's a much better game. Yeah, the offense looked really good, the best they've looked all season. And it was across the board. I mean, the run game, the quarterback, the cohesiveness of the plays. It was a really great game offensively. The defense has been playing pretty well, and obviously Cincinnati a better offensive team than the teams they have played as of late. So I think, like the rest of the city, yeah, really happy to see that game. Yeah.
Were you surprised at how easily the quarterback was able to just go under center? I'm looking at Joe.
He's trying to intimidate me. I mean,
I'm trying to show my dismay with Joe because he was telling me for so long that it was impossible that Jalen could just stick his hands under the center's butt.
He's misframing my opinion, but go ahead.
I will say this. I think the under center thing has been played a little bit out of context, to be tell you the truth. Like, most of their under center plays are in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And in 4-minute drill, they were still primarily a shotgun team.
And running the ball largely under center. My whole point has always been not him handing the ball off John Ritchie from under center. It's him dropping back, the footwork, the timing, hitting receivers
downfield. I just
want
to get to where he is faking with the ball fully extended on a stretch play. That's where I want to get eventually.
There are advantages to doing that type of play action and those types of runs. And I think that there are so many ways that it like doesn't tip off what you're doing.
Sure.
And it makes it very difficult for a defense. And the fake draws out longer. And the linebackers have to displace more because of the fake. But I think in the game, they did do some of that stuff. I would still say they ran the ball well in shotgun as well. They actually did a lot of play action in shotgun. And you talk about like the long extended fake. They did some. It looked like they've made a conscious effort of him really carrying out the fake, even in shotgun, which held those backers a little bit longer on some of the play action throws. But I think
the little details. Those are the little details that they talk about,
and it makes a huge difference. I think that there's the best teams in the NFL. Well, I'm trying to think of the best. So like Detroit. I would say their offense is probably the best in the NFL, and they dominate the under center game, these fakes like we're talking about. And then you think about like Baltimore, and Baltimore has been one of the best rushing teams in the league the last 4 or 5 years, and they're very much heavily pistol shotgun because of the threat that Lamar creates. So
sure.
I think we should keep doing more under center stuff. But I also think that there's a dynamic in the shotgun that you want to take advantage of with the quarterback and Jalen. So,
all right, let's get a lot of calls in with Jason here. We're going to get some more of the Nick Nurse audio coming up shortly as well. Let's talk to Steve and Willow Grove right now. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween, Steve.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, Joe, are you wearing shoes today when you golf? Or are you going shoeless?
Good question, Steve. I will not be shoeless.
He's got shoes on right now, which is a step in the right direction. Congratulations, Joe.
Thank
nice
you.
Nice of you to not force Jason Kelsey to be in a shoeless studio.
Well, I got respect for Jason.
I mean, I got my feet out. I got sandals.
No, but do you take your shoes off constantly?
He takes his socks and penny loafers off.
At work.
I would rather somebody barefoot than socks. Like, I feel like it's either have the shoes on or have...
See, I don't know that you've seen these bare feet.
That's fair.
You've seen Lord of the Rings, right? You know, like Frodo, very similar. Yeah. Similar thing going on.
Jason, I'm going to tell you in a second something really underrated in life. Steve, give me what you got here on the Sixers. By the way, yes, I will change my shoes in the car. What do you got on the Sixers, Steve?
I think Nick Nurse is probably going to be fired before the season's over. Wow.
Well, but that would be a shame because he's taking bullets for others.
All right, but Jason,
and they have no shot to win with the crew they're putting out there.
They paid him
right
a lot of money, too. That would be a quick one.
But, well, they're not going to fire. Steve, they're not going to fire him. Steve, let me tell you the only way he gets fired. There's only one way. He says things publicly or privately that make Josh Harris and Daryl Morey feel he's being disloyal to them, which is not impossible given some of the hints that Nick Nurse has dropped out there in the last 48 hours. But I would guess that Nick Nurse knows he'll pull that back a little bit and won't get to the point where the owner or GM question his loyalty. But he is right to say, hey, can someone else here please answer a question?
Okay, but now more importantly, Joe, here's what we got to do first. Jason, thank you very much for allowing me to witness a Super Bowl in my lifetime.
Oh, my pleasure.
Really appreciate your effort and your play, and you're wonderful. And real fast on your beer, what you got to do, raise the price 25%. If it's a short supply, you raise the price. That's a simple one.
You're telling me to price gouge my fans?
Come on, Steve.
The Eagles do it. Everybody else does it.
Yeah, right. That's business.
Real fast. You're going to get into the Hall of Fame. You're going to win Emmys with ESPN. You're a master socializer of the world. You got it, man. And here's the deal. Then, in my opinion, you're going to be the next Madden. And then the next Kelsey game.
High bar he's giving you here, Jason.
I got a lot of expectations to live up to.
Dude, it's easy. Listen, all said and done, you run for president. You win the
presidency. Wow, we're really going for it.
Listen. Joe's your vice president. After you do the two terms and you save the world, then Joe steps in.
Well, where I just killed Jason and I become the president.
Oh,
no one knows I killed
him. That's how that works.
I like it, though, Steve. Anything that gets me to the top. Yeah. Steve, give me an answer. Steve, what is this strange tradition?
So the one thing that Richie does with the pork on New Year's Eve, we do that also. Really, it has to happen on New Year's Day. But
good job,
we have
Steve.
On a cake, happy birthday, Joe. We have to cross Joe's name.
Oh, yeah, that's something that people do.
All right, buddy. What is it, James?
It's when it's your birthday, like you have to cross your name out on the cake. I've seen people do that. It's a thing.
I've
never heard of that.
I have not. Jason, underrated. I'm just going to tell you, I recommend it. Bare feet. Mm-hmm. Your home or someone else's home.
Or somebody else's.
If they have a rug that has a certain thickness, or if it's like the shag rug, like the old Joe Namath shag rug,
sure.
Rub the bare foot in the rug while you're watching TV. Yeah, this is big and bushy. This is good stuff, man. You will give yourself a massage. Right. The rug will massage you. Just putting that out there.
Yes, when you go to someone else's house, take your shoes off and rub your feet in their rug.
You're disgusting.
It's in some cultures, it's a common courtesy to take your shoes off.
I think
off
so, too.
Are you shoes off on the plane? Too much here, Jason.
On the plane?
On the plane. Are you shoes off?
Under the blanket. Hell yeah.
He takes his shoes and
I wear sandals so that I can take my
shoes. Well, of course.
I mean, I'm just
same thing.
I used to get a lot of flack for wearing sandals from you.
You have convinced me. Let those puppies breathe. I'm with you. Mm. The thing is, John, what you were doing, though, you were bringing the California sandal.
Birkenstocks is what he was wearing.
That's not awesome.
Birkenstocks.
What's wrong with
like
the
Jason,
difference?
Be a Philadelphian like Jason Kelce, John. You're always talking about Stanford and all that nonsense.
Why are my sandals different than Jason's sandals?
The one's flip-flops and one's Birkenstocks.
Yeah, there you go. All right, by the way, I want to listen to Nick Nurse here, because what a debacle this whole thing is. And another piece of audio from yesterday. This is the one, to me, more than anything, where I'm starting to feel sympathy for Nick Nurse, because you can tell he's drowning and is just dying for Daryl Morey to step up and address the media and be the adult that actually answers questions about Joel Embiid that Daryl Morey doesn't want to answer. This was fascinating yesterday. Listen to this.
Nick, why do you prefer not to address it? As the head coach, you're the only voice for us here and for the public, and you prefer not to address these questions that people want to know about.
Well, I'm not the only voice. Right? Well, today I am, but I'm here because we have a basketball game.
Thanks, guys.
Basketball game. Thank you. Yep.
I mean, John, that's very telling.
Jeez.
That's a guy saying, "Can the guy that who's the GM,
save
please speak
me here?" Yeah.
What that's brutal for Nick Nurse. And
painful.
I'm not looking to have his back if he's lying, and I do think in twists and turns he has lied. But I will say this. It's a disgrace that Daryl Morey's hiding.
Yeah.
It really is.
And last night was the first watching the Sixers game last night, watching Nick Nurse, he looks like a man who's under pressure. He looks like a man who is reacting emotionally. On the sideline.
John, do you remember,
that's what happens when you coach.
Do you remember those 2 months last year without Joel, how they almost barely won? Like, guys, that could be the next 2 months.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Seriously, now Paul George will help, and he'll be back sort of soon, it sounds like. But they're in deep trouble if he's out for a while, and my antenna says
if he plays.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm just saying.
He might play 22 games this year. He might play zero. He might play 30.
It's so excruciating.
It's bad.
The way this is going to work now that there's no back to backs, now that we are supposed to just be tolerant of the idea that he's got a chronic injury.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
this is going to be, he might play whenever.
Yeah. Jason,
and how many games is this going to be? How many games do you expect this is going to be? 30 or less? That's where that feels right.
I agree with that. I'd almost be encouraged if they get 30 at this point, which is not encouraging, but, you know. So, Jason, you've been critical of the Sixers at times, stuff with Josh Harris you said a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, as a Philadelphian who would like to see Embiid play, knowing that they are not being forthcoming.
Yeah.
What's your reaction?
You wonder, everybody, I think, I just wonder what's happening and what's really going on there.
Yeah.
It feels like when people aren't being forthcoming, usually they're hiding something, and you wonder what that is. Like, the reality is they either probably don't know, so they don't know how to answer these questions, or it's worse than is being let on, and they don't want to announce that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are pretty much the only two options that it can be. So, as a Philadelphia fan, I'm frustrated. Because obviously we're a much better team with Joel, and we'd love to have him out on the court. And you start thinking about what does this mean for the season
and his future. I mean, they just signed on $191 million. Ben, $191 million.
Yeah.
Listen, you went from hopefully playing 50 games a year to we don't know when he's going to even begin to play.
Ever get him at his full tilt greatness again,
yeah,
because this might be Ben, I've made the example of Chase Utley. There was the first half of Chase's career.
Mm-hmm.
There was the second half. And he's not the only athlete. There have been plenty of athletes that have suffered injuries. Penny Hardaway, Grant Hill. There's a ton of guys.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we know what the greatness looked like, and then we know what the second half of the career was.
And you know you're never going to get back there.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you lose it, you lose it.
It doesn't come back.
Yeah. And it's brutal.
And we're talking about greatness, but you're talking about mindset above all else. Mindset. Mental toughness. We know that Joel struggles in that regard. How about, like, just look around, look across the NFL, the fact that there was a young quarterback, actually our old coach, Shane Steichen, benched a young quarterback.
Well, that's wild.
In large part, I think, because he tapped out.
I would agree
with
you.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Like, I don't think I could play with a young quarterback who decided, like, I am too tired to get it, to be in on this play.
Jason, what'd you make of that one? For those that don't know what we're talking about, the Colts quarterback on Sunday, he had scrambled for two straight plays. Third play, what would be the third play, he motions to the sideline, hits his helmet, I'm coming out, pulls himself out of the game.
The game's in the balance, right?
Yeah, it's fourth quarter, I believe.
And then admitted afterwards that he was tired.
He was tired. Yeah. So, Jason, how tough would it be to believe in that guy?
Well, how tired is he? I don't, like, is he vomiting on the sideline? And, like, you know, I think Lane Johnson broke down a huddle one time before a game. He said, hey, let's go out there. And he's getting everybody fired up. Ain't nobody ever drowned from sweating too hard. And I just thought,
that's good.
That's a good line.
That is good.
But, yeah, quarterback, you don't see that at quarterback. That's very rare. You know, you can always come in and hand the ball off. Like, you don't have to really, there's plays that require less energy. So that it's concerning. I will say, watching the play, he's had that hip issue. He took like a little bit of an awkward shot, and I was wondering in the post game conference, like, is he kind of like not letting on that that actually kind of hurt a little bit? But I have no evidence to say that.
That makes
more sense to me than actually saying like, oh, I was fatigued, so I came out of the game. Like, maybe because he's been nursing that hip injury. But
he didn't realize it would be way dumber to say that he was tired.
You know what I mean? He's like, I don't want to disclose an injury.
I know.
Or he was actually just tired and he made that was not a good decision. I also don't think though, like, I mean, maybe I do think this is part of probably the reason he's been benched for Joe, but I think Joe playing really well when he's been in there, like, made this decision probably a lot easier. Like,
Flacco's
played well.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think that for Shane, he's probably like, hey, I know this guy's, you know, I don't know for sure, but, like, if I'm the coach, I'm looking there like, this guy played really well, and now all of a sudden we're back to this, and we're kind of struggling a little bit, you know, and now I got an opportunity. This thing just happened.
Yeah, I agree. All right, by the way, reminder, in two minutes, we're getting to these tickets where we're giving people another chance to hear a name.
And, of course, the courtesy of our good friends, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
I want to play some audio of Nick Sirianni. We played this late in yesterday's program, but it's well worth playing with Jason here. So here's Sirianni on the Eagles web show that they put out this week on their website, talking about the praise the Eagles are now getting with the three-game winning streak and how he wants them to handle it. And we'll get Jason's assessment, who had 3 years in the building with Nick as his head coach. Here's Sirianni to the guys the other day.
Here's what we talked about. Doubt, criticism, and hate, right? You got to bell block all that out. Well, it's the same deal with praise. Block it out. So now we're getting praised. Put your f***ing head down and work, because there's nothing like the work. What was the line, Tyler? Treat praise like perfume. Smell it, sniff it, whatever f- you got to do with it, don't drink it.
I love it. So, Jason, he was your guy for 3 years, and we've always wondered what's going on in there. I was very impressed with that messaging.
We've been saying this for years. I really think Nick is great in the team meeting room. Yeah. I think it's, you know, he communicates really well. He gets across the message that needs to be said to the team. He keeps guys accountable. This is really the strength, in my opinion, of Nick in that building, is how he communicates, how he holds people accountable, the messaging that he's saying. And I think that's the right messaging. I mean, they played a really good game. That doesn't mean anything. They got to put these together back-to-back. They still got to keep improving. You know, the reason they played well this past week is because they improved on all these mistakes they've made in previous games, and the defense has gotten a lot better. The offense has gotten a lot better. They're really starting to hone things in, but that process still has to continue. There's still things, even though they played well this past week, that they need to clean up. And I think that's the mindset you have to have. I know it's very similar to the Nick Saban rat poison quote that happened when he was at Alabama. In this city, the media is so loud and so out there. It is very easy to get caught up thinking you're already there when things are going well. And it's also very easy to think you're awful and you're never going to win when things aren't going well. And you have to do a great job of blocking out the nonsense and taking the constructive criticism and moving forward in the right manner to really succeed. And overall, it's weird. Like in this town, it felt like going into a season in this city when we were expected to be really good. We almost never lived up to those expectations.
That's right.
And when we weren't expected to be very good, we almost always exceeded them. And I think a lot of that is the way this town just operates. They're on those extremes, and the reality is always somewhere else.
Yeah, Jason with us here in studio for an entire hour, as he is every Thursday at this time. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast from the Tasty Cake Studio. Your chance today as we reassess the Sirianni thing. We ask you, do you think he's a good coach now? And if you didn't think that 3 weeks ago, did you jump the gun? Or do you think perhaps it's just a beneficiary of a really good roster and, for the most part, a very easy schedule? Which, let's be real, it has been to a large extent, not only the last 3 weeks, but to a large extent the last couple of years. 2022, the schedule was a joke. 2021, those 9 wins, most of those games were against teams that stunk. Just keeping it real, it's true. All right, so love Doug also. Jason, Doug.
Gosh.
Coming back in town, how often do you communicate with them, and what do you expect on Sunday?
We probably talk mostly on via text, but that's once or twice a year. You know what I mean? Just catching up.
Mm-hmm.
I got a chance to see him in Tahoe this year.
At the golf outing.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson merits the invite today. I understand Jason Kelce, but
He's been there for a while. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that is Jordan shows up. Jordan shows up. Rob Lowe shows up.
Yeah.
This is some big stuff.
Don't be small time in Doug Peterson.
I love
He's
him.
A Super Bowl winning coach.
I'm happy for him. That's great.
I love Rob Lowe's your second after that. You go Michael Jordan and Rob Lowe.
James, the legendary.
You know why? Right. No, here's why. So I have a buddy. Witnessed. A game of cards. Jordan, Barkley, Rob Lowe.
There you go.
My buddy's not in the game. He's standing in the back of the room. During the game, Barkley and Jordan bet a house.
Whoa!
Why not? Bet a house. And Rob Lowe was the other major celebrity there. Wow. My point is, the Lake
Are these
Tahoe.
Houses of equal.
I don't know.
It's an important caveat.
My buddy said he witnessed
the upper hand in this wager.
The other thing my buddy witnessed that time, standing in the back of the room, Jason, he's next to Jordan's driver. This is one of the most amazing stories ever from sports. Jordan's driver for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
The guy that picked him up at the airport when he flew in 1984 to Chicago for his introductory press conference. This guy picks up Jordan, drives him to the Bulls complex. Jordan and this cabbie talk, and Jordan's like, look, in a couple hours, I got to come back to the airport. Guy's like, I'll get you.
Yeah.
Brings Jordan back to the airport a couple hours later. Jordan and this guy vibe. Jordan's like, when he gets back into town for his rookie year, you want to be my guy?
Wow.
Becomes his guy 40 years later. I mean, at least as of 10 years ago.
Most important cab rider that guy's
Jason, think about this. So my buddy says to the cabbie, so you must know a lot.
Oh, yeah.
His response was, I do, and I keep my job by never saying any of it.
Keep your job for 40 years.
I mean, if you're Jordan's guy, John, that's got to be a couple million dollar keep the mouth shut job.
Are you kidding?
If you're Michael Jordan's dude?
Easy.
Holy mackerel.
Easy.
Imagine that. So, all right, so Jason, tell us about Doug, the guy. I mean, I think we have a sense, and I would guess that what we think is what it is. Here's my sense of Doug.
Okay.
He's a dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He is someone that you respect from his playing days, and that is just a good quality person that you were proud to play for. Tell me what I got that's right. Tell me what I'm missing.
Yeah, all of that's true. I mean, I think, it's hard for a lot of players to really wrap their head around probably Doug as the player. But anytime there's a coach that was a former player that had success and played for a long time, I think that aids into the trust and respect for him. More importantly, I think he understands the job from the player's frame of mind, which is rare by head coaches, right? Well, I guess it's not that rare, but it's uncommon in the NFL. Great person, awesome, just integrity-driven man. In the locker room, the way he talks to players, connects with guys, just one of those people that everybody tends to absolutely love. And it's very easy to suit up and go out and play for him. He's very good a lot of the times at not getting too high low. Unless you have a bad half, then he'll come in and he's going to let you know it. But
did he chew you out?
He's chewed. I mean, has he chewed me out personally, no. But he's chewed the team out. I've seen him chew guys out.
Who do guys love more? Like, you know, like, I know this is tough, but we hear all the time, everyone's crazy about Nick. Doug, former player, everyone respects him.
Yeah.
It's like that we know that they both vibe with the guys. We know they're both players, coaches, but if you had to say one, if you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one?
Yeah. Who gets the nod?
I'm not going to pick
one. It's impossible.
Nor would I expect you to.
It's well handled, Chase.
That was the correct answer there.
They're both incredible coaches, incredible men, and I loved playing for both of them. And we had a moment between me and Doug Peterson that we won the Super Bowl that I'll never forget. I had a moment between me and Nick where we lost the Super Bowl, and I'll never forget that one. You know, we both got there. Obviously, going down the parade with Doug was pretty damn awesome. I think it's
hard to beat that.
Yeah, it's hard to beat that. That team was really special, and I was younger and more connected to probably those guys on like a peer basis. You know, once you start getting older, it's just a different dynamic. But I think, like, even with, you know, Andy was a guy that, like, he was a player's coach too. Players love him, right?
Sure.
In a different capacity, in a different realm. But I was so young then that it was hard to even wrap my head around things.
Do you think
you're more just like,
that's interesting. Yeah. You're a lot younger when Andy's your coach. I know I was afraid of Andy Reid. Like, as a player, there was a fear component that it doesn't feel like exists with Nick.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if that's a new, if that's like the old school NFL versus the new school NFL.
I think a lot of it comes down to just personality. I don't believe this. Like, at the end of the day, great coaches, no matter how hard they are on you, players want to be coached. Players want to get better. If the player feels like the coach is trying to make them better and like has their interest in mind rather than just doing some showboaty thing out here.
Yeah.
And we all know it. Like, when somebody just lashes out into a press conference and it's like, dude, that was uncalled for. And then we know when that happens, like, yeah, it's a great point, right? And to me, Andy, the reason I think, I don't know if it's like a fear thing. Andy was always so stoic. So you never knew what he was holding behind there a lot of the times. And when he did get there to where like it upset him, it made him being upset that much more impactful.
Yeah.
Because it was like, man, I really just like, for this guy to not be the stoic man that he always is.
It's like when Silent Bob talks at the end.
Exactly. It meant more. So it always kind of hit you harder.
Yeah.
And conversely, when he was up and he was happy, it was like, man, I really just nailed that because this guy smiled for the first time today. Right. So
yeah.
I think that probably plays more of a factor into that. I think Nick is very much wears his emotions on his sleeve at all times. And is criticized sometimes for that. But that also, that's also wonderful at times. And I think it is better in some ways. Doug is an in-between. He can let his emotions out. He's much more, talking to the players early. And this is why it's hard, because I was older with Doug. Like, I know for a fact Andy was talking to the older guys that he had been with for a long time. I wasn't at that stage when I was with him. But me and Doug, like, I was, you know, an older player at that point, so we would talk continually about the game plan, about where the team's at, especially between me and Stout. Like, you start getting those relationships once you start getting older that change dynamics a little bit as a player.
Makes sense. Really Anyways, does.
Yeah.
Oh, more from Nick Nurse with what he said yesterday. If you've missed this audio, some fascinating stuff and really irritating stuff on a lot of fronts. We'll get to that more with Jason and your phone calls. Also, the Phillies thing. Dodgers win the World Series. I'm sure that irritates everybody, but does it give you some hope that the Phillies can do it when you know the Dodgers lost in the round the last couple years that the Phillies lost in this year?